Dayspring. This title or this symbol is found only in the King James Version. So if you happen to look in some other version of the Bible, you may find sun, S-U-R-S-U-N, or you may find some other word, light, but in the King James, the word that they used is dayspring. Now, it's not a word that you and I usually use in our daily talk. One of the most common phrases that we hear spoken, and maybe we speak ourselves, consists of two words, I can't. We say that's negative talking. But nevertheless, we still find ourselves and other people saying a lot of times, I can't, because I can't is the truth. If I say I can't fly, flapping my arms, that's not being negative, that's just being realistic and that's being honest, but I'm still saying I can't. But sometimes when we say I can't, it's because of a frightening situation, like I can't walk, or I can't breathe, or I can't hear, or I can't stand, or I can't feel. But I guess probably the most frightening I can't to me would be I can't see. At one time or another, all of us have experienced to some degree what it would be like not to be able to see. We have come into a room and flipped on the light switch, and the light bulb instantly goes out, and there is no light whatsoever in the room, and you have to stumble across the room to try to find another lamp you can turn on, and you have a little idea of what it means to say, I can't see, especially if you fall over something and end up on the floor. When I was a boy, I used to go into theaters from the outside, bright sunlight. You'd walk inside, and all of a sudden, when you got inside, you couldn't even see anything but the screen. You couldn't see the aisles. You couldn't see the seats. You couldn't see anything until your eyes finally were able to adjust to the darkness. So, again, I could say, I can't see to get down the aisle. I can't see to sit down. A steamboat one time was carrying a load of passengers up one of the western rivers. This time it was very dark. The waters, of course, would be dark. There were no stars. There was no moonlight to be seen. The clouds just blocked out the moonlight. There was no moon at all. And the air was full of sleet and mist. And the boat had struck a log and had taken on water. It was leaking, and it was in danger of sinking. So the captain of the steamboat ran the boat as close to shore as he could and lashed it to the bank. And then, of course, that board plank was lowered down over the water from the boat to the land. And the people on board were told to go ashore, walking over the plank, to safety. They refused. You say, how come? Because it was too dark. They could not see where the plank was. They could not tell how far they were from the left or right-hand side of that walkway. They heard the rushing water beneath their feet, and they felt the sleet on their face, but they were afraid they would walk off the plank. And so, therefore, they said, we will stay on the boat, on ship. And so, the reason being, they would say, I cannot see. And the captain knew he couldn't leave them on the boat. And yet, he couldn't get them to get off the boat. He didn't know what to do. So, he told some of those who worked for him to get some pitch coal, whatever this is, and go on shore. And they did. And they lit this pitch coal, and the fire brightly burned, and then the people could see where the plank was, and they safely left the boat. Now, this is a good story to tell to introduce our object or our symbol of Jesus Christ being a dayspring. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. God the Father has sent a visitor to earth, and the visitor in the King James Version is spoken of as the day spring. A more familiar term that we would use today would be sunrise, the dawning of a new day, the springing forth. That's where you get that day spring. Day begins to spring forth anew. The dawning of the light would be another way you might read this in some version. That is, the visit of Jesus to earth was like a day spring sent from God. He shone forth into the darkness of the night. In a sense, he was sort of like that little pile of pitch coal. Now, I could use that as a symbol of Jesus Christ, brightly burning pitch coal on the bank of the river. Of course, that's not a term used in the Bible, so I'll not use that as a symbol of Jesus. But it is the symbol of the day spring. He shone forth to show the people the way out of sin and death, the way safely to heavenly shore. Now, to better understand this symbol of Christ, I think we need to grasp the darkness that we find ourselves. In a real sense, the earth, as it was in Genesis 1, it was covered by darkness before God brought about a recreation of it. Man fell into sin. In a real sense, the earth has returned to a state of darkness. And so we need to understand the darkness in which man himself now dwells. There was no part of man, Adam and Eve, there was no part of the human race, beginning with these two, that was untouched, unharmed, untainted, undarkened by their fall into sin. Everything about them and around them did experience some kind of defilement or corruption. Physically, disorders were allowed to invade their body, resulting in all kinds of illnesses and diseases from your toe to your toenail to your head. It's in your hair. You have social disorder come in. I call this social darkness. That would plague man against man. Then you have mental darkness, where you would constantly be faced with doubts and problems and fears and tensions, things that would truly upset you mentally. But when we look at the spiritual side of man and the spiritual disorders, that we find man in his deepest trouble. Not everyone has body ailments alike. Not all of us are hit physically the same way. Not everybody faces some horror from some social catastrophe, which today we call the crime problem. Not all of us are involved in some kind of outbreak of society. Some are escaping that. Hopefully you are one of those. Thirdly, not everybody is under mental stress and is in a state of turmoil and anxiety, but everybody is equally having problems with the spiritual part of our life. Nobody escapes that. Now, you may escape the blackness and the darkness and the trouble from the physical and the social and the mental for quite a while, but you can't escape the darkness and the problems resulting from the spiritual disorders that evolved from the fall. You can escape the horrors of leprosy. You can escape probably the stalking of a murderer. You can probably escape the twisting of your mind, but you will not escape the hardness of your heart. That cannot be escaped. And this hardness of the heart is sometimes spoken of in the Bible as being blindness of the mind. There are two kinds of blindness we find in the Bible. Blindness of the eyes, the physical eyes, and the blindness of the heart. And you cannot escape the blindness of the heart. Blindness always results in darkness. Blindness always means you can't see. And there we are back to that word, I can't. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, their minds, or you might say hearts, their minds were blind, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. This blindness makes it impossible for man to comprehend the truth of God. Now, he can read it, but he won't believe it. He can read it, but he won't understand it. He will read it, but he won't respond to it. He will read it, but it won't bother him. So in a sense, he remains untouched and unmoved by what God has to say. And so there is a blindness that is in the mind. In Ephesians 4:18, men have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness that is in their heart. So the Bible says man has a heart problem, spiritually speaking, and that problem is blindness. Something within man's mind. We call this the heart. We call this the soul. But something within man has to make decisions about what is right and wrong. To step forward, to step backwards. To take no step at all or to take a step. These are decisions that we have to make regarding what I call moral and spiritual decisions. Normally we refer to this as decisions of the soul. Man uses his heart to determine what is good and bad, to judge between the true and the false, to declare what is profitable and unprofitable, spiritually speaking, in the areas of conduct, morality, pleasure. Today we talk, I hear a lot of talk about the religious right. I'm real glad that they use that term right, because I'd rather be religious right than religious wrong. You follow what I'm saying to you? To me, they're saying one side is right and one side is wrong. The wrong side is the left side and the right side is the right side. I agree with that. I'm religious right. The religious left are blind. They cannot see which way they ought to go. And they may go one way this year, and in another 3 years go another way. They're going to walk right off the gangplank. They may go left. They may not go at all. They may stay on the ship that's sinking. There's only one right way to go, and that's right down the center of the plank. And so man has to make decisions about all these matters we call moral character decisions. Now, the fall left man's eyes, spiritually speaking, his heart, shuttered. That is, just like you have shutters in your house probably to cut out the sunlight. Maybe you have a window shade, I can say shaded. But the eyes of the heart are shaded or shuttered to the point that no light gets in. You can't see right from wrong. And so man, therefore, is left in what I call a state of darkness. and he can't see. And he'll tell you he can't see. I can't see why you go to church every Sunday. I can't see why you don't believe adultery's wrong or right or whatever. I don't see why you don't see what I see. I don't see what you see in the Bible. I don't see what you see in Christ. I don't see as you see. You're right. Blind folks are expected to say, I can't see. And so he goes through life with this blindness saying, as he begins his sentences, I guess, or I think, or I hope, or I suppose. But he can never say, I see, I know, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am walking down the right way on the plank from the sinking ship, which happens to be this earth, folks. It's sinking. It's been sinking ever since Adam and Eve sinned, and it's still taking on water, and there's only one gangplank off, and everybody's saying, well, I guess I can't, I think, I hope, I suppose, and they're still on board the ship. But the ship is sinking. And I tell you, if my calculations are right, she's about to sink. She's not sinking, she's about taking on all the water she's going to take on. It's about to go under. And I don't think I'm alone in my thinking. But there's still people on board saying, well, I don't see which way to get off this thing. I'm not sure the thing is sinking. They can't even see the boat's in trouble. And you see, there's tremendous problems today all around us. And folks saying, well, I don't see anything to get alarmed about. I can't see any solution. Well, there are lots of solutions, but only one correct solution. Now, you can put a lot of gangplanks off a boat, but I tell you, it'd be like a diving board if you put them somewhere and just walk off into the water. You have to go from the boat to the safety of the shore. And there's only one safe shore, folks, that I know anything about. And that place is called heaven. And when you walk down the plank, you better go from the boat to heaven. If you don't, you're going to go from the boat to the water, one way or the other. Now, this blindness has resulted in thousands of religions. It's resulted in tons of stick and stone idols. It's resulted in bizarre moral codes and the promotion of evil. It results in men calling good evil and good evil, and we have that today. That which the Bible utterly says is totally wrong, man calls right. And then he says, that's the way I see it. Folks, blind people can't see. God can. And God sent the day spring into this world. Why? Because the world is groping around for truth and wisdom and light and knowledge of which way to walk down the gangplank. Where is the gangplank? And God has given man, because there is darkness upon this earth, there are so many ideas, so many psychologies, so many philosophies, so many false wisdoms, so many false teachings, God says, I'm going to bring down the light. And I'm going to bring you one person that can tell you what's right. And can sort out all of these false theories and opinions about what is right and wrong, what is truth. And this fella, I shouldn't use the word fella, this sent one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God the Son, this one is going to come and expose you finally to the truth. Listen to him. There is darkness all over this earth because no one knows truth. No one has the wisdom that is correct. And so God sends the rising of the sun dawning of the morning sun. He sends the day spring to come in and says, gather around me, all you people of the world, let me tell you the truth. It comes straight from the one who cannot lie I bring you the truth of God. Now listen to me. And we have this truth in the Old Testament as commandments. We have this truth repeated by Christ in the New Testament, the commandments. The commandments are nothing but the wisdom of God, what is right, what is correct, what people who have eyesight can see. God knows what He's talking about. God is right. Why? Because God can see. People, when you can see, you can make the right decision as to what plank should be walked down, where the plank is, and where it's going. You can see, you can make that decision. I can't see because I have been blinded by sin. But I have someone who is coming to this earth called the Dayspring, and he can see. And he says to me, Billy, you don't know where you're going. You don't know right from wrong. But the ship is sinking, and I can point the way, and I can tell you what is the right thing to do. In all circumstances, listen to me. I am the only one on the sinking ship that can see. Kind of like the pilot on the guy in the boat. I'm the one that knows what he's talking about. And so God showed mercy to man who was groping around in darkness trying to find the way. The way to keep the boat from sinking, which you can't. If you can't do that, then to find the way off the boat. He can't do that. To find the way to live while he's on the sinking boat, he can't even figure that out. And so God sent Jesus, the Dayspring, to deal with all those questions. To show mercy to those on the sinking ship. How welcome he should be. But lo and behold, he's not welcome. He's not welcome. Not only is there darkness surrounding man with all the untrue ideas that flood the market through the media and every other source, but there is also another problem. Not only is man himself just guessing, thinking about everything, listening to all the false ideas around him, a sharing of darkness, a sharing of stupidity, a sharing of ignorance is what we have in the mass media. Everybody thinking what they ought to do and what ought to be done. Now, there's also the problem of darkness in the heart. Darkness surrounding the boat, and darkness inside the people on board the boat, on board this planet Earth that's sinking in sin, heading for destruction. Within the inhabitants of this earthly boat, there is blindness also. Blindness without among all the people, and darkness within their own heart and soul and spirit, because of the sin in their own life. Out of darkness keeps man doing nothing but discussing his ignorance. But the inner darkness makes man rebel against the light of truth. As the man said, get off the boat, walk the plank to the other shore, the people said, no, no, we can't see the plank. We'll stay on board. Well, that was a dumb decision. The boat's going to sink. But anyway, there is that no. Even when the man said there is life on the other shore, go. No, we will not go. So there is a darkness within the heart of man that automatically cries out when here comes the Dayspring and sends the message, there is the way to go. The man's black, dark heart says, no. No. John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shines in darkness. That's Christ. And the darkness comprehends it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That was their choice. He came to his own, and his own received him not. John 3:19-20, and this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Dayspring has come. And men loved their darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. Now there's the second problem man has. He has blindness inside that he prefers to stay blinded. It's crazy, but that's the problem we're facing. And every man that does evil hates the light and will not come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That is, man is so blind within that when you show him even the light, and the light lights up the plank, and the light shows him the way to get off the boat that's sinking, he sits there and says, I'm going to shut my eyes. I'm not going to see the light on the shore. I'm not going to see the light on the plank. I'm not going to see the plank. I'm going to stay on the boat. Now, folks, that's the height of absurdity. But that's the situation that man finds himself in. Christ comes and presents himself as the light. Now, in Luke 1:79, 1:78, remember it says Jesus was sent by God's mercy to be the day spring. Verse 79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What God has to do, and He will do this, is He has to come in and force open the shutters in the blind, lost man's eyes that he might see the ship is sinking, he is in danger of death, that he can see Christ is the way, he can see the beauty of the shore that he can go to, and God must pry his eyes open and let him see just for a while. And then he can make a decision to walk across the plank and accept Christ as his Lord and Savior and have his eyes opened for good. Until next Sunday, may God bless.